Surprise! This is not the highly anticipated and severely delayed 100th episode of I'll Have a Beer and Talk. The studio is still in shambles. My wife and I graciously gave up our master suite to the visiting mother-in-law, so we moved down here to the bunker for a bit and had to push a lot of my special equipment off to the side so we could fold down the futon. You could say that the bridge is smashed and the computer's inoperative, so I had to cobble together a very pared-down setup to enable me to get some basic recording done. I'm also waiting for the planets to be in the proper position to enable something very special to happen for episode 100, and they're not quite there yet. Just needs another 7 days. So instead of recording the 100th episode, I want to have a beer and talk about Google. Yes, my favorite info-hoovering company had a hardware event this past Wednesday, October 4th, and I have many thoughts on all the gadget goodies that exposed themselves to us innocent mortals during the event. But first, what would I'll Have a Beer and Talk be without me having a beer while I talk? The randomizer is here and is ready to randomly select a beer for me. Good work, randomizer. And it has chosen Oregon's own Kells Brew Pub's Irish Pale Ale, a 6.7% ABV American India Pale Ale. That's an Irish American India Pale Ale, not an Irish American Indian Pale Ale, because I don't really know what that is. The Irish aspect is simply because it was brewed by Kells, and when you don't factor that in, this is an American IPA, which differs from a regular IPA mostly in hops and bitterness. It has big, McLarge, huge, American-sized amounts of both. Allow me to switch to the beer mic so I can open this can of beautiful, beautiful liquid. Funny thing, I switched the glass that I pour my beer into and just realized it's not clear, so I can't tell actually the color of the beer, although it looks a little bit like it's a golden pale, has a nice pale white head, and smells like an IPA. I imagine it will taste like one as well. For an American IPA, the hoppiness and the bitterness are actually very, very tolerable. That's a pleasant surprise, because I'm used to getting punched in the face with hops with American IPAs. Excellent. Good work, Kells. So Google had their big hardware event this last Wednesday. The event began with Google CEO Sundar Pichai proclaiming that they've been working really hard to continue their shift from a mobile-first focused company to an AI-first focused company. What does that mean exactly? They want to take all that stuff that they know from people constantly searching for cat videos and porn and figure out ways in which their artificial intelligence can help us find cat videos and porn faster and incorporate all that technology into their mobile devices. I know that seems rather esoteric, but let me give you a real-world example of how their AI is actually helping. We're attending the Friends of Dart Hunter conference later in the week, which is in Atlanta, Georgia. Yesterday, Google Assistant, which I can access on my Android phone, reminded me that it was coming up and had my flight and accommodation information ready and offered to download maps of the area. I didn't ask it to do this. Google's AI saw the confirmations in my email and the event on my calendar and knows, thanks to observing how people search for information, that a few days ahead of a trip that I should have everything I need all in one place waiting for me. Some might find that creepy, but I find it extremely useful. Anyway, this is an interesting shift in focus. Everyone has a smartphone these days, and they're all becoming the same thing, but humans haven't seemed to be able to properly curate the massive flows of information that they can access from their fingertips. That's where the AI aspect comes in. Google Assistant will assist you in staying on top of all the things that are important to you, as long as you let it. So this hardware event was actually a lot less about revealing the new Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL phones, and more about showing how Google feels hardware should be evolving to leverage assistive cognitive technologies. And that's what I found so interesting about this event. This is the beginning of the future that I've always wanted. First up, Google focused quite a bit on its smart speaker, the Google Home, which I own one. They introduced a smaller version of the Google Home, the boringly named Google Home Mini. Resembling a donut in shape and size, and costing one-third the price of the regular Google Home at $49, that's for the Mini, not for the Home. By nature of its size, it doesn't have as good of a speaker as the Home, but does appear to have roughly the same excellent microphone array for picking up your voice accurately from quite a ways away. This is definitely targeted towards Amazon's Echo Dot small smart speaker. I was a little disappointed that Google didn't include an auxiliary output jack to connect the Google Home Mini to external speakers like the way the Echo Dot can. But you know what? I chose my ecosystem, so I will live with it. Google also added another home device to the hardware line, one that is huge! Very bigly. The Google Home Max is about the size of a pound cake, is $399, and was designed for people who want to replace their hi-fi with a smart speaker. Max will, using AI and input from its microphone array, adapt its sound output depending on where in a room it senses it is located. It will adapt its volume based on time of day, ambient environmental noise, and what type of music it's actually playing. Max is being targeted directly at Apple's as-yet-unreleased music playback-focused HomePod smart speaker. Google also took time to point out that if you have multiple home devices, you can use them as a weird kind of intercom. You can ask it to broadcast a message, and it will, to every home device, using its own voice. You know, that might be useful if, say, I'm in the bunker and my wife is in the papermaking studio. I plan on getting a Google Home Mini before the end of this month, so we'll see if I can make that work and see what it feels like. Google also announced a new premium Chromebook called the Pixelbook. It is designed as a 2-in-1, meaning that the screen can be folded backwards against the main body to be used as a tablet, and it also has an optional active stylus available for it called the Pixelbook Pen. The pen is very much like my Surface Pen, but has one additional trick. When using it, you can circle something on the screen of the Pixelbook, and the built-in Google Assistant on the Pixelbook will search for whatever it is that you just circled. The Pixelbook starts at $999, and the pen is $99, and only works with the Pixelbook. So I won't be getting these anytime soon. I had used the original prototype Chromebook, the CR48, years ago when I first surprisingly got it one Christmas day. I don't anymore because it's very, very old, but I know how useful a Chromebook can be. But until a Chromebook can run Audacity or something with the same amount of power for audio editing, Chromebooks are kind of a non-starter for me. The Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL smartphones were revealed after weeks and weeks of leaks, so there are not really that many surprises there. And they're basically a refresh of the previous 5-inch Pixel and the 6-inch Pixel XL phones that were released last year. But notably, the Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL have removed the headphone jack. Sounds familiar. I personally don't care about the loss of the jack. I've been using Bluetooth headphones for a couple of years now, but it is worth pointing out. The benefit of the loss of the jack means the phones are IP67 dust and water resistant, putting them in the same wheelhouse as the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus, but as was directly pointed out in the presentation, both the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL have the same innards and cameras, they're just a slightly different form factor. So they're unlike the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus in that the iPhone 8 has lower specs than the iPhone 8 Plus. Zing! They also have a single camera lens on the back, so not like what Samsung has done with their Galaxy and Note phones, and what Apple has done with their iPhones. Google says they didn't feel they needed a second lens for their phone to help take fantastic photos, as they are leveraging camera technology and, yup, AI that has been trained by all those photos we upload to Google Photos to determine the best way to process visual information in a way that is pleasing to us meatbags. You can also give these phones a squeeze to activate the Google Assistant. Utilizing phone manufacturer HTC's technology, clutching the phone and applying pressure can be sensed by the operating system and launch the assistant. The demo on stage showed that you can squeeze your phone and ask it to take a selfie. Then it opens up the camera app, focuses on the front-facing camera, and gives you a visual countdown from 3 until the photo is taken. I'm sure there are other useful, more useful things that can be done with this weird squeeze feature, but we'll see. The phones are, surprise, priced out of my means, $649 for the Pixel 2 and $849 for the Pixel 2 XL. Maybe they'll come down in price when the third Pixel comes out? Since they've ditched the headphone jack, which is all the rage right now with phones, Google revealed some Bluetooth headphones, seemingly to compete with Apple's EarPods, called the Pixel EarBuds. The Pixel Buds have Google Assistant built in, you can hold the right earbud to activate it, and the right bud also controls the volume and play controls. Tap to play or pause, and move forward or backward on the side of the earbud to control the volume. They also showed off what is potentially a groundbreaking function, nearly real-time language translation. If you find yourself in a foreign country, you can put on the buds, and when you need to speak to someone that doesn't speak your language, you activate the assistant. Assuming you've set the language of the country in ahead of time, the Google Assistant will then listen to you speak your query, and then it will translate it and play it out of your phone's speaker. Assistant will then listen to the response from the foreign language speaker, translate it to your native tongue, and play the translation through your earbuds. Right now, the translation functionality is only available if you have a Pixel 2 or 2 XL, but I imagine it can be functional on any phone running a recent version of Android. The Pixel earbuds are $159, and I think I may try to get a pair of those in the next couple months or a year from now. Google also had one last out-of-left-field gadget to show off. It's a small 2-inch by 2-inch by 1-inch standalone camera called the Google Clip, because the camera has a big clip on the back. The Clip is meant to be a camera that takes photos for you. You set it up in a corner somewhere, or clip it to something nearby, and you go about activities in front of it that you'd like to be photographed doing, like playing with a cat, or enjoying a birthday, or engaging in sports, or other things like that. The Clip utilizes AI to A, recognize you and people that you know, and B, know what makes a good photo. The Clip does all this locally. It stores photos it believes are good, waiting for you to take a look at them on your phone. None of the photos the Clip takes are uploaded until you indicate you want to keep them. This is not an always-on surveillance device sending information back to Google. The Clip will learn over time what you look like and recognize people that you are often with, so if you have a properly trained Clip and, oh, say you want to set it up to take photos of you and your spouse teaching a papermaking class, the Clip will try to get good photos of you and your spouse and avoid taking photos of people it doesn't recognize. Huh? Clearly, I already found a use case for it. The Clip is $249, so a bit much for a use case concept, but we'll see if that price comes down a little bit, and then I'll give it a shot. And that was it of all the things that they revealed that I found interesting. Very, very cool stuff. I especially like how active stylus-enabled computing has now been recognized by all the major players as being something that's really, really useful. And I'm excited to see how the virtual personal assistants are evolving. I've been using my Google Home more and more, mostly to set timers and set reminders, but eventually I'll be incorporating some smart home technology into the bunker and the surface structure and the papermaking studio, and Google Home will assist me in controlling all that stuff. Here's to the Google Power future, whether you like it or not. So, if everything works out the way I've planned, or even if it doesn't, next week episode 100 will finally happen, by hook or by crook. It's going to be a very different kind of episode, which means it will either go well or terribly not well. I don't want to reveal my plans, so you'll just have to speculate what might happen. We shall soon see. Well, actually, here. Anyway, please visit my sponsor, Pulp and Deckle, at pulpanddeckle.com. That is pulpanddeckle.com. And if you enjoy my show each week, you can donate at least $1 a month to the show at patreon.com/ihametradio. That is patreon.com/ihabatradio. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, pets, plants, aliens, and the Google about the show, and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to gary@pulpanddeckle.com, or on the Twitters and Instagram at iHabitRadio, or even on the Facebook at facebook.com/iHabitRadio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!